The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I was going to tell you when you came in here that there's going to be a time when I'm going to be at your house while you're asleep.
On Sports Radio 810.
Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, he's the man. Josh Briscoe is hanging out at Atomic Cowboy in Westport with Denver Biscuit and Fat Sully's. Nice biscuit meal and some pizza as well. So good for him. The big news in the sporting world today, literally world, is that Croatia has knocked off Brazil in the Elite Eight, they call it. They call it the
Are
Elite Eight, right?
Are you seeing the same footage right now?
I am of Croatia. Yeah,
unbelievable.
I am.
Roughly the same population as Oklahoma.
Yeah, but can you imagine if Adrian Peterson were to play, like, if you mention Oklahoma, like, that's the thing, is all their Adrian Petersons play soccer. Ours play like Adrian Peterson. Big news there. We'll hear from Andy Reid coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Mick Schaefer will join us right now. Time to have our conversation on a Friday with Kendall Gammon. It's presented by Freeman Health System, centered around you. Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust, and Crown Automotive in Lawrence, your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. Kendall Gammon joining us here in the Zone. Kendall, how are you, sir?
Doing very well. Yourself?
I am doing just fine. I am glad that I did not place money on Brazil today, which is what I was thinking about doing. But I just said, you know what, I'm just going to watch. It'll be on in the background, but I don't need to have any more action. We'll see. So I'm happy about that, Kendall, that I backed away from just, maybe I want a little more action. No, I'm going to be watching the game. Let's put a little more action on that Argentina-Netherlands game coming up next. And maybe I'll do that, Kendall.
I don't know what to say. Croatia, though, has just got to be going bonkers right now. That's all I know. And if there's cowbells over there, they're getting more of them right now.
That's right. That's the only prescription for the fever.
It is.
It's more cowbell. That reference is just amazing, and Josh has no idea what we're talking about, probably.
That's if he does not.
Sorry, Jason. I was looking at the phrase, biscuit smothered in sweet strawberry sauce topped with house-made whipped cream, and I got distracted.
Hey, Beards, why is his mic up? why is he allowed to talk during this at all? Like we made a deal, Beards, you and I. We said that Josh talks no more until there's food in front of me.
See, I'm hoping he's bribing me with biscuits, but it hasn't happened yet.
That's right. Okay. His mic stays off until you get biscuits or I get biscuits. One of the two. That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. Kendall Gammon is our guest. All right, Kendall, let's put a bow on the Bengals game, and we can talk about some of the other things around this Chiefs team, and then look at the Denver Broncos. But what was your takeaway and reaction to the 27-24 defeat at the hands of the Bengals on Sunday?
Well, you definitely can't put a bow on it. I know that for sure. That was no present. It was tough. You know what? You and I talked about it a little bit, which was, in my mind, if the Chiefs were going to win, they needed to help the defensive back side of things, and that needed to come from the pass rush, and we essentially got none. There was very little pressure. They did a nice job, Cincinnati did, of taking Chris Jones out of it, you know, whamming him early, which is, for our listeners, you know, letting him get up the field, using his momentum against him and people coming from the side as opposed to just front on to take him on. And then the other people who had the one-on-ones weren't winning. And then you've got to give Joe Burrow's credit. I mean, he stood in there several times, took some hits, delivered on time, on target, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's always that the weighing and juggling of the frustration of your own team versus knowing that those are professionals and that's a damn fine team over there. And I said it on Monday, Kendall, that there is no more from me of, well, the Chiefs are better, they're just going to have to go out and prove it. Whether they are or not, 1 through 53, like that may be the case, it may not. One thing I do know is this Bengals team this year is better than last year's Bengals team. That much I am for sure of what I saw in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And if you think about it, I think I even heard you say it earlier in the week, which is, I mean, just like the AFC West. I mean, you can't take anybody other than the Chiefs until somebody beats the Chiefs, just like you can't think that the Chiefs are going to beat Cincinnati until they actually do it. And I don't really completely buy that Cincinnati's in Kansas City's head. You know, it's just they've gotten beat. They've been some close games. There's been some meltdowns at times, you know, i.e. the AFC championship game in the second half. But it's two evenly matched teams. I say this all the time. Normally, 5 to 6 plays make up the game, the difference in the game, even when it's a bad team and a good team, let alone when it's too evenly matched and it's just a play here or there. And that's exactly what we saw on Sunday.
So one of the things I was going to ask you is what you just said there is, you know, not necessarily think that the Bengals are in the Chiefs' head, and that may or may not be the case. But are there teams to where a group of players on one side of the on the field have a psychological or a mental advantage over the other one? Like that team over there, like, wow, we think they're going to beat us. Does that happen in the NFL, or is that, you know, created on the outside looking in?
I think it does to a limited degree, not to the degree that we see it from the outside, but I think the last time that was going on much was with the Patriots and that dynasty that was going on. I can remember back in my day with the Steelers and, you know, it was the Cowboys a little bit when you had the triplets there and Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith. I mean, that was tough sledding. So there are some of those, but for the most part, the guys, you know, they get into the league because they're good and they're confident and can be overconfident at times. And generally, if that's the case, you don't get too awfully intimidated. You generally don't let people get in your head that much.
Yeah, and if there was one side, it's probably been the Chiefs and Mahomes and Andy Reid that have been on the positive side of that.
Yeah, I would agree, and I can tell you right now, I don't know what the other Bengals are thinking or the head coach is thinking, but I would bet the house, I would definitely bet a couple houses that nobody gets in Joe Burrow's head. The guy, we will just say he's plenty confident. I mean, you try to get to that red line between ultimate confidence and arrogance and not going over the line too much. I think he gets over the line a bit, but he backs it up.
Yeah, he certainly backed it up against the Chiefs. Kendall Gammon is our guest. Each time we talk with Kendall, it's presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. The field goal by Harrison Butker, the 55-yarder pushed to the right. What did you see on that kick?
The operation wasn't as good as it normally is, and from 55 yards out, that can affect it. I think if you asked Harrison, he would say no, it didn't, and maybe he has been asked, and I'm not sure what he said. But in general, I don't buy the fact that he's hurt and he can't make that. I mean, that's a makeable field goal for him. He just pushed it a little bit. I mean, he is one of the best kickers, even as he is hurt. But hindsight 2020, you can go either way with that. I was a little bit surprised that they kicked it, but I can understand it as well. And it's just one of those things. If he kicks it and he makes it and defense holds and everything goes as planned, then Andy Reid's, you know, making the right decision. As it is, things didn't go that way, and now all of a sudden we all question it. And that's fine. That's what we're supposed to do, and that's what everybody expects. But, you know, you go with your gut feeling sometimes, and I think that's just what Andy was feeling at the time.
I know it would affect me, but I'm not a professional kicker where you have done the operation thousands and thousands and thousands of times with all of the practice and everything. But is there a chance that, you know, Tommy Townsend, who did a great job of holding, getting the ball and putting it down and then spinning it at the last second, can a kicker be thrown off by seeing the ball spin and just a slight hitch, you know, pushes it to the right? Like you said, 55 yards, everything's going to have, the operation's going to have to go smooth, and Butker's going to have to swing his leg at the right spot, connecting with the ball the correct way to send it down the middle, because any little bit of an angle right or left is then it's magnified. That's exactly right, because of how far it is. Is there a chance that seeing that ball spin, you know, can affect a kicker just even the slightest to make it, you know, go to the right and miss that field goal?
Oh yeah, no question. No kicker wants to see the ball spinning. They'd love to just see it set down like it's there on a tee when they practice by themselves. So yeah, it does make a sense, a difference, and it's magnified more, Jason, as you get farther out. every little bit that doesn't go as planned, the farther out you get, the more chance there is for error and pushing it one way or the other. And, you know, I think to a degree that's what happened. That being said, I mean, you give me a choice of what snapper I'm going to take in the league, I'm taking James Winchester for a myriad of reasons, not just his snapping, but his coverage ability and his blocking ability, plus being one of the best human beings you'll ever be around. So those things happen.
Yeah, there's a number of players I would bet that are kicking themselves in that game. I mean, Joshua Williams went and tweeted and said, that's on me and I'll do better. And I don't think anything of the game is on Joshua Williams. He played that 3rd and 11, like, he played it extreme for a rookie against T. Higgins. I mean, it's just sometimes the other team makes a good play. Sometimes the pitch comes in on 3-2 and he beats you, you tip your cap, and you go back to the dugout. And that's one of those to where you tip your cap and go, I can't believe you made that throw and that catch, but I was there, I thought I had it defended, and that's why you guys are Pro Bowlers in that position. Joshua Williams said that, but Travis Kelce on his podcast said that, you know, he cost the Chiefs the game, and it's you know, his fault, and it's not going to happen again. I don't think it's to the level of what Travis Kelce is saying or even Josh Williams, and certainly not James Winchester, but I would bet he probably puts himself in the category of the players that feel like they let the team down, because when you're in that position, and I know talking with you, that snap is probably going to stay with Winchester for a while.
Yeah, it does. You think about it, but you do have to let it clear and move on. But what you said is right about Williams and also Travis Kelce. Certainly wasn't on them, and certainly not Kelce, who is I don't even think arguably. I mean, he is the best tight end ever to play the game at this point in time. But there's also a reason he's that good, which is he expects so much from himself. So when that happens like it did, he puts the blame on himself. And quite honestly, that's a good thing, and the fact that that's what you got leading in the locker room is he and Patrick Mahomes and some of the others who they don't point fingers. They just look at themselves and they pick the others up. And, I mean, we obviously know that Travis Kelce is a huge reason why the Chiefs are as successful as they are right now. But you've got to appreciate that because you know they believe it. They know they feel like had they performed better, they would have won that game. And I would say every player that played in that game literally could come up with a couple scenarios where if they'd done something a little bit different, it could have made a difference in the game.
Yeah, and I think it was the biggest play of the game is that fumble, and Kelce's great and all that stuff. I don't think it was the only reason they lost, obviously, if you're saying, well, he cost his team the game. I think if he doesn't fumble, they go down and score, but it doesn't mean that if he doesn't fumble, then, you know, they have to punt, you know, right after that or whatever it might be. They had scored touchdowns, but it was massive, and he, you know, blamed himself in the podcast, and he was asked by his brother that, okay, so are you now, like, you know, focusing more? Are you, you know, doing more stuff to protect the football? And Travis was like, oh, your first instinct is that you're going to hold the ball as tight as you've ever held it before and all of that stuff. And he's like, but if I start to focus more on that, then I lose other things of my game that make me the player that I am. How easy is it then for Kelce in the ball being stripped from him, Winchester in the ball just being even slightly off can make a difference. And, you know, Butker's good enough that you can swing through it because it was a good hold by Tommy Townsend. How easy is it that when you say, well, Winchester will clear that and move on, is it easy just to, okay, clear that from your memory, get back out there and play, and it's not something that you're thinking about, that Kelce's not going to be thinking about not fumbling, and then it can, you know, come back to bite him?
I don't know if it's easy the first time you do it and deal with things like that, but that started in middle school and high school and college and even earlier in your career. By this time, you know how to clear things. It's one snap and clear, and you've got to understand that it's creating a mindset of you know, it's Stuart Smalley looking in the mirror and saying, I'm good enough, I'm bright enough, and gosh darn it, people like me, and I'm you know, things like that. You've got to be reaffirming. I always talked about it, you know, self-talk. I mean, we're constantly having conversations with ourselves inside our head, or at least I am, and I don't know if that's normal or not. But anyhow, you're always talking to yourself about how you're doing, how you're being judged, how you're performing, and you know, you've got to be intentional with your performance talk inside and what you think you're doing, because otherwise, I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, but then nobody else is going to, and that can carry out to the football field. But at this level, you finally got there. Normally,
That's two Saturday Night Live references already that we've had, so very good.
More you can do. Trust me, I've got more,
Jason. I'm with you on that one. Kendall Gammon is our guest. How long did it take you? Like, you're now a motivational speaker. You talk to those, and you're discussing the things that you're discussing now, believing in yourself, believing in your performance, and bettering yourself and becoming the best version of yourself over time and continuing to work on it. When did you sort of get that mindset through your career of, okay, bad snap, put it behind me. Okay, I didn't get my lane. I didn't cover it the right way, and it was a bigger gain, or whatever it might be, to where it's like, okay, clear it, move on, the next play, even though you're in front of 70,000 people that are all saying, Kendall, it's your fault, you know, everybody's screaming and yelling, and it's like, oh, they're all mad at me, but that's cool, I'm just gonna go out there and clear it and go play better the next time.
Yeah, you know what, it's a great question. My rookie year with the Steelers, my second preseason game, I had a poor punt snap. It skipped back there, which, for our listeners, that's basketball, not football, so you're not supposed to be bouncing the ball back there. The snap got off, but as I'm running off the field, I'm about 5 yards from the sideline. I think I told you this before, and Cowher's, you know, chin was in my face already, and he just lit me up, and that led to a poor field goal snap, which I can still snap to this day and be fine with it. And what I did was I let one bad thing cost me another because I was in my head. And it was then that I started building the mental toughness, and he helped me build it my entire rookie year because he was just on my behind the entire time to the degree that I really wanted to deck him and really take that chin out a little bit. But I thank him for what he did for me because right now, in my mind, you can't get to me. I've got thick skin, and that's a mindset that's created. It's intentionally created and with persistence, and he was a big factor of that. If I don't play for him earlier in my career, I don't know what happens. I don't know if I play 15 years.
Interesting. Kendall Gammon is our guest. He is presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. The Chiefs get ready for the Broncos, and they have won 13 games in a row against the Broncos. Patrick Mahomes is also 13-0 in his career in division road games. Boy, if you know, we talk about a mental edge and a psychological advantage of Bengals, Chiefs, and things like that. Maybe it's not a mental edge, but it's if it's football or just one of those things that happen. But this is as dominant of a stretch against what is a good franchise organization overall that's respected in the Denver Broncos. But it has just been total domination with the Chiefs and the Broncos. What do you make of this matchup this weekend and the fact that the Chiefs have had this? The last team to beat, the last quarterback to beat the Chiefs for the Broncos was Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, what they've got going on up there a little bit, it sounds real disrespectful, but I say it. I mean, it's a little bit of a clown show. The offense and what they've got going on is just, I don't know, it's dismal. And Russell Wilson has been a huge part of that. And he doesn't seem to really resonate and connect with his team. He seems above it all. I just learned recently that he has his own office. His representatives have their own office inside.
Too.
That's unreal. I mean, I don't think you could do anything more to separate yourself from your teammates than to do something like that. And I just don't get it. Their defense is obviously good, but the offense anemic. I think they've scored 45 points collectively in the last four games, so 11.5 a game or 11.25, and because I know Joshua was checking right there. But all the same, it's rough. You know, this is the site. This was the site of Patrick Mahomes' first win. Yeah. He got to his rookie year. He got to start that last game because it didn't matter for the playoff side of things. And they have been dominant, and it's amazing. I don't expect it to change either.
It was it's the site of his. Oh, sorry, Josh. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I put down all my food for 1 second, even before that stray that I totally earned. But I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, Kendall, or anything. I guess you decide if there's anyone you want to throw under the bus. But when you look at all of that dysfunction and all of the issues that seem completely strewn throughout that organization right now, coach and quarterback and all of the stuff going on the sidelines, like, do you have anything like that from your playing days that you can think of, or like what it's like to be in a locker room where you just don't know who you can have any faith in?
I'm trying to think here. Yeah, I don't know that I could name names, but, you know, sometimes the stress level gets hard. And you know, it just gets to people. I mean, this is a high performance business. I can remember I had one head coach at one team, and I mean, Saturday night he gave the Winston Churchill never, ever, ever, ever give up. and we go and we lose on Sunday, and he comes in Monday, and he's like, yeah, I retired. I quit. So I was like, okay, I don't know what the heck's going on here. I remember after that game, you know, that was a year after I left the Steelers, and I remember after that game coming into the locker room, and, I mean, if it wasn't bolted down, it had been thrown around the locker room, and you've just got a Gatorade spewing all over the place, and I'm just like, I don't know what to think. I was in the Super Bowl less than a year ago, and I'm here. I mean, it's interesting stuff. The pressure gets to people, and then they start doing crazy things, and I've never seen anything to the degree, honestly, of what I hear is going on in Denver, and I spoke to quite a few people this week, and I don't know. The fact is they can't afford to cut Russell Wilson. I think he would have to be on there for the next 3 years at least, if not four, because it would decimate the salary cap, or they literally couldn't do it. So this is a move that I think has hamstrung them for the foreseeable future.
So you don't need to name any names or anything, but that coach didn't come in and go, playoffs? Playoffs? I'm not going to talk nothing like that. So
it was absolutely nothing like that.
Yeah,
that pitch wasn't even close to the pitch that he was on. And you know, that being said, that's one guy that I have a lot of respect for a lot of different reasons. And mm-hmm. so that just shows you that it can get to anybody.
Yeah. Kendall Gammon is our guest. All right. Do you have a score in mind for this game this weekend? Chiefs favored by 9 in Vegas. What do you think happens there in Denver?
Yeah, I've had 24-14, so right around the line. I think I just don't think the offense of Denver can do that much. They haven't been. I mean, if they put 14 up, that's, you know, 2.75 more than they've been doing. That's for you again, Josh. And I just think the offense is ready to get going for Kansas City, but this is a good defense of Denver, so I'm kind of seeing it right around there. It could go a little bit more, but either way, it could be a trash touchdown at the end for Denver also. I just think this is a game that you've got to work to lose.
You know, real quick, and it kind of goes back to the organization thing, but how difficult would it be to be a part of a team where, you know, the quarterback is so important to a franchise, and the move that was made was to bring in a franchise quarterback that, boy, all the reports from the outside, from those that are there, seem to be that there just isn't a whole lot of liking or trust or whatever it might be with Russell Wilson. People have said that they don't even know him. You mentioned he's got his own, you know, office with his own quarterback coach and his own trainer, that it's in a different part of the building. And if you're a player, like, you see Russell Wilson come down when the media is there, and he comes down and the media is in the locker room, and then the media leaves, and then he leaves the locker room, like, he's doing these things for, like, the cameras. Like, how difficult would it be, like, to be like, man, and just be like, man, that dude's a clown, dude. Like, we're really, I got to go out and play, and this is a year of my career that I'm playing with this dude, and this is where I'm at under contract. Like, how, you've got to be a professional, but, man, it's got to be difficult. I'm just saying, if that were to be the case somewhere, whether it's in Denver or not, of trying to believe in a guy that's supposed to be the leader that you just feel like is fake and you don't really know him and maybe you don't care to know him. I don't know.
It would be very difficult. The NFL is about one thing, which is respect. Respect for yourself, respect from your teammates, and respect from the team that you're playing. And everything that he's doing, if it is the way we're hearing, mm-hmm. and where there's smoke, there's fire. So even if it's not as bad as we're saying, it's not great. And it's hard to respect players like that. And if your teammates don't have respect for you, I don't know how you could even function. I wouldn't know what to do. I was always very proud of the fact that even as a long snapper and a backup offensive lineman, you know, not playing that much but doing the long snapping, which, you know, let's be honest, after the punter and the kicker, I'm the worst athlete on the field. But they had respect for me and what I did, and they knew that I wasn't going to let them down. I mean, case in point, I was elected a player rep for the NFLPA mm-hmm. by my teammates 10 of my 15 years. And it's because they knew I cared and that I respected them and I wanted to help, and I appreciated the respect that they gave me back. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a leader on a team, if you don't have that respect, then you're just simply not the leader.
Yeah. Kendall Gammon with us. Kendall, you're the man. Really appreciate the time, sir. And enjoy the football, and we will talk next Friday.
Sounds good. Take care, gents.
Absolutely. There's Kendall Gammon. Presented by Freeman Health System, centered around you. Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust. And Crown Automotive in Lawrence, your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling, tell you more about where Josh is. He'll be there till 2. Mick Schaefer
maybe
will
longer.
Join us. He'll be there until at least 2.
That's right.
Mick Schaefer will be here until at least 2 as well. We'll hear from Andy Reid in the 1 o'clock hour as we continue with more Zone right after this. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
We're hanging out with Mick Schaefer from NBC 41 Action News. Mitch, you were on all these, or Mick. Jeez Louise.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out on a Friday edition of The Zone, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Jason Anderson, Josh Briscoe, Beards, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director, hanging out with us. Briscoe not here. He is at Atomic Cowboy.
Whoa.
Yeah, enjoying some food while he is
male?
On the food. I mean, he's on the stream, and so, you know, I can pull up the stream and see that, you know, him doing this that stuff.
That's
and
good.
Eating, but, you know.
Keep an eye on him.
Yeah, but I got to keep an eye on
him. James and Mitch, I have some incredible news for both of you.
Yes, Jerry, go ahead.
I'm not gonna tell you about Atomic Cowboy. I have a sermon to preach because we just got the strawberry shortcake biscuit smothered in sweet strawberry sauce, topped with house-made whipped cream. I'm not leaving, Jason. I'm not coming back, and you can't make me. This is where I do the show now.
This is now my home.
So I had the choice. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt Derrick had this issue also, Mick, and I really do apologize. Next time we
I could have gone either place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should have come here at 4144 Pennsylvania Avenue in Westport, Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, which is the umbrella over the top of Denver Biscuit Company, which the whole vibe in here is unreal. I think Denver Biscuit Company has the best brunch food in Kansas City. Fat Soli's in the lunchtime and afternoon for New York style pizza and burgers. I just had a burger a second ago. Let me check the menu. The Lights Out burger. It is legit lights out. Sports all day, drinks all day. A great place to hang out for literally any reason. Like, this is the thing about it that if I could just bring everybody in here to just look around for a second, and God forbid I get you to sit down and take one bite of food, I will never have to tell you anything else about this place ever again because you'll know it for yourself. But it is unreal. You could have a business lunch here. You could get here on a nice little maybe late brunch on a Saturday and soak all that up. And also this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, as we get ready for Chiefs and Denver, more food from Denver that will be eaten by Kansas Citians, being the Broncos. They've got the 810 drink specials. You get the No Place Like Mahomes shot, served with a Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat, and the Let's Hide shot, along with a Coors Light. Those are both $8.10, those little drink duos there. Plus, the food's unreal. I just legitimately, guys, am having such a lovely time. They keep bringing us food. Everything I've ever had here has been perfect. And I think if you walk in, you're going to get it immediately.
Do you have like a hard drive that you can put in storage somewhere else that you attach to your computer later on that you have just as a stomach? Because you've talked about the chicken biscuit, you've talked about the double decker, you showed us the picture of the catfish sandwich. I just said you had one of the
also,
cheeseburgers.
So yeah.
So like,
I'm doing something that I've never done before, which is eating about half of what's on the plate and then just leaving it and not trying to eat every single thing all the time. But I legitimately, I came prepared with extra insulin today because I knew it was going to be one of those days that you, I guess, remember for the rest of your life, not to overstate it.
I am picturing Josh leaving Atomic Cowboy at some point today, but I'm picturing him leaving there.
That might not happen.
And
so
looking
far you're wrong already.
And looking like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman leaving the store with all the clothes. It's just boxes of food that you didn't finish that you're taking home to eat as leftovers. Like you're just walking out with all these boxes and you can't even see where you're walking. You're trying to balance it and looking around like Dylan's got to open up the doors for you so you can get to your car. That's what I'm picturing with all of these plates of food that you clearly are not finishing.
No, I think that's about right. The only thing I would add is that if I could get a wheelbarrow, not for all the food, but just for me be in, I think that would help. And I think Luke's not too big a man to turn down a wheelbarrowing of getting me out the door here. So I think Luke will come through for me, and we'll just be here enjoying absolutely delicious food at Atomic Cowboy, Denver Biscuit Company, Fat Soli's. The only thing I haven't tried yet so far is the pizza, and I've heard rumors that the pizza will eventually be here. So the only way I've even survived this much of the menu grazing is the fact that we're mercifully here for 4 hours. And if you come here, you might want to be here for 4 hours also.
No, it's like, I haven't tried the pizza yet. I mean, they haven't given me pizza, so I mean, it's just how cool of a place is it?
It's so good.
Well, you're also
Nick,
selfish.
I feel like you would love it. There's a buffalo head on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Pretty Woman was an early 1990s rom-com, Josh, starring Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. They're actors. And then secondly, watch it. That's what they call me, watching Oklahoma State games. It's Atomic Cowboy.
I didn't know that. I know that now.
Great name. Well, I work down there, not far from there.
It's your cul-de-sac nickname right there.
Yeah, right.
Do you really?
It wouldn't have been. Yes, out on the plaza there.
What do you do?
Where do you work, man?
I put on makeup for a living and babysit.
That is true.
And
there are a lot of things that you can describe yourself as. What do you do? Yeah. So Matt Derrick would have had an easier drive south to go to Westport and then over to Arrowhead Stadium rather than driving all the way here and then driving to Arrowhead from where he lives up in Liberty. And Mick would have had an easier time and also an enjoyable meal rather than coming here. And both Mick and Matt were not alerted to the fact that you are there enjoying your food.
This is the stupidest thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, this is so unavoidable.
Boy, that is saying a lot.
I mean, you guys, like,
so unavoidable.
What is happening here?
That was a very unavoidable mistake.
This is our first time doing a show out here. I wasn't sure, you know, what the invite list should be or kind of what our setup would look like. I promise you, Mick, you will not get left off the invite list next time.
I'm going to get
I'm hoping it's Monday.
Instead, I'm going to get a lukewarm Dr. Pepper out of the Coke machine over here, along with a honey bun, and that'll be my lunch.
Would you like the second half of my Nature Valley protein bar?
Yes, sir. Yes, please, please. More, can I have some more?
I also stole this from the kid's snack box. It's a Apple Jack's jumbo snack.
So
it's
child.
Just yes, actually pretty damn good. But I stole this just in case I needed something else to put the little Triscuit in my stomach. You know, it doesn't help now. I don't have the Triscuit in my stomach. Though that's what we're enjoying and talking sports. It's what we're doing. Croatia upsets Brazil. Yeah. Yes, I will do that. I'm on my way right now.
I could make it there by one, probably, and
you know, you could
spend the final hour there.
You could, as soon as we say, "Hey, let's go hear from Andy Reid." Boom, you jet, you go there, and it's all good, man. You're fine.
Oh, Jason, I'm seeing the Applejack snacks now on the video stream.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm working with today.
I bet they're good.
Yeah,
that's what I'm. They're a nice little snack.
That's what I'm working with.
I'm going to eat this artisan biscuit with homemade whipped cream surrounded and smothered in fresh strawberry sauce. Oh, I love it. I love it here.
Cool. You know, last time, last year at this time, Mick, we were talking about a basketball game that was going to be played the next day. And I tried to warn everybody not to take Mizzou anything less than plus 25.
I lost money. I took...
I don't even know what the line was last year.
It was
year.
Just a regular bet because we weren't real betting here yet. But as I got 20 points and took Mizzou and still wasn't enough.
And still lost. And this is one to where I have no clue. I have no idea.
Completely different personnel almost on the Missouri side, and half the team's different on the KU side.
Right.
If and not more.
Ken Pom's got us a 3-point game, and it's like, you know, I had a buddy that texted me. He's like, "Hey, is Mizzou for real?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know."
Find out?
I don't know. Like I said, I'll tell you on January 4th because, you know, we talked about this, Wednesday or Monday with the next five games for Mizzou, but I have no idea. Like, this is a different feel to where if you said Mizzou won, okay, I could see that. If you said it was back and forth game and KU won, I could see that. If you said KU won by 20, yeah, I could see that. I can't see Mizzou winning by 20, but I could see any of those three scenarios taking place.
Absolutely, and I think it helps that, like, none of these guys from Missouri, including the head coach, have ever come close to being a part of this rivalry outside of, Kobe Brown last year, right? Is there anybody else that's left to play in that game?
His brother.
His brother?
Who doesn't play much.
He doesn't play much. And so, you don't know what you don't know. And I think you maybe just, you feel like, okay, we're playing a really good team. But the weight of playing a really good team that's also a rival and our fan base really mm-hmm. wants you to do well in it, I don't think they feel that. And I think that's a good thing for Mizzou.
Yeah, and the pressure is, honestly, it's on one side. Like, Kansas can't lose to Mizzou. You can't lose to Missouri in basketball, not when you're the reigning national champions and Missouri's, you know, basketball program's been a joke.
It's the opposite of the border war bowl game argument to where, like, it's probably kind of a no-win for Missouri. This is a no-win for KU.
Yeah. Are you surprised by KenPom having it as a three-point game? Because I'm shocked. I mean, I'm not just surprised.
Yeah, but I'm like, forward. I'm often surprised in the whole spread game to where, like, okay, no, this is my daily, like, what the heck? I'm reminded daily that, okay, I don't know near as much as I think I know. And a lot of times those surprising lines ring true, and we talk about them, and we're like, oh my gosh, these guys know each other. And then a lot of times they don't ring true, and we just forget about it, ignore it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, and I'm not saying, like, it's going to be a three-point game, because it's just, like, guessing what the line's going to be. KenPom is very close whenever the line actually comes out to what his prediction on the game is going to be. It's crazy how often you're like, oh, the Vegas put this as a two-point game. What does KenPom have it? KenPom's got it as a two-point game. Oh, okay. Interesting. They got it 2.5. What's KenPom got it? 3. Oh, okay. Because he doesn't do half points there. Because the spread doesn't come out until tomorrow morning. Because for whatever reason, Vegas couldn't possibly put a spread for a college basketball game when neither team has played since Sunday.
Why is that?
I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know what the reason is for that you get the spread day of. Of what the teams are going to be. Like, we have a spread.
Is it just for this game, or is it?
No, it's just college basketball. Yeah. It's just always been college basketball. I can go and bet right now on Georgia versus Michigan in the championship game.
Yeah.
Not the semifinal. Right. I can bet Georgia -6.5 against Michigan. I think it's -6.5. I actually wrote down when we talked to Braden Gall on Tuesday what the lines were for the potential matchups in the championship game. Like, I can go there right now and do that. And that would be, Georgia against Michigan -7.5. I can place money on that right now. But I can't bet Mizzou KU.
Yeah.
Not until tomorrow.
I will say this. I've watched most of the games that KU, K-State, and Mizzou have played this year.
Yeah, I've tried to watch as many as possible.
And I can say this. Of the three, I've enjoyed watching Missouri and K-State more than KU. They're so much fun. They're so athletic. Not that KU isn't. And maybe it's the expectation of, like, okay, I expect,
right?
Jalen Wilson and Grady Dick and all these guys to have big games.
And both coaches at the other side.
But I mean, on the K-State side, they've got some dudes, man. And it's so much fun to watch with Noel and, Taekwon Johnson, and they're flying all over the place. Mizzou's kind of right there. I mean, I like these. Demoy Hodge is hoppy, jumpy, right? He's
springy.
He's springy. and Noah Carter's been a great East. He had a point guard and all that.
Sean East.
I love Nick Honor's dad bod and everything out there. And
I'll never see it. I'll never not see it now.
Right?
I will now.
How'd
only
you not see it beforehand?
Nick Honor as a dad bod.
They score, and it's so much fun to watch. And they're scoring more than KU. And granted, they're probably not. They haven't played the schedule that KU's played.
They're also not defending anybody.
And here's what's a bad thing, yet I think more a good thing for Mizzou. Aiden Shaw and Isaiah Mosley, their minutes are up and down. A lot of games they don't play a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have gone into the season thinking, okay, these are probably two of the three best players with Kobe Brown. And they haven't needed him, and maybe part of that is, okay, I think Isaiah Mosley might be kind of a knucklehead, but I think, and maybe Aiden Shaw's growth hasn't come as rapidly as they projected or wanted. I think it'll still come there. He's too big and too long and too athletic for it not to be. But that's cool. I mean, they've run to this 9-0 start, and these two guys that you thought were going to be their bell cows, I think was the last game they both only played like 6 minutes or something like that?
They have combined in the last two games against Southeast Missouri State and Wichita State for a total, both of them combined for 21 minutes of play. And the 80 minutes of basketball 85 minutes of basketball they have played because Wichita State was overtime. So in the 85 minutes of basketball they've played with five players out there, so 85 times five, those are the minutes available, they have played 21 of them. That's I would have been shocked by that. And Isaiah Mosley did not even play against Wichita State.
It's what it's 200 minutes a game you can play, right?
Yep.
And that's 405
minutes. Then, well, no.
425
minutes is what you would play because five players out there, right?
Well, 200 minutes a game.
With the 5-minute overtime.
And you take a 5 times 5. Absolutely. Yep. 425, and they play 21 of them. Wow.
I would have said, wow, they're injured. You know, hopefully they're healthy for KU in that next game. But it's been odd, and it's, you know what? It's a new coach trying to develop a culture with all new guys, and I think he's also trying to learn his team. Missouri fans are watching the game with a media guide, and I think Dennis Gates is watching the game figuring out, what do I have, and how do they play together, and who's going to be my go-to guy, and if I need a bucket, where am I going, and who's going to be somebody that steps up? Is there somebody that has sort of a mentality on this team that's going to take charge? I need to figure that out. Is Isaiah Mosley just going to be out there only thinking about scoring and not playing defense? Is Aiden Shaw, does he know where he's supposed to be on the floor, which I think is part of the issue, is like, okay, Aiden Shaw, is he doing the things defensively and rebounding that Dennis Gates thought he was going to get from him? Okay, well, in games where they might be a little bit closer, those guys aren't playing. Is that, you know, something that we will see as a trend moving forward, that games that might get out of hand? All right, here's Isaiah Mosley and Aiden Shaw out there playing, but I don't know. But if Missouri's going to beat Kansas, I would have expected Isaiah Mosley to drop like 20 or 25 in the game if you'd have told me that.
I know, and that's the, kind of like the subplot in this whole deal is Isaiah Mosley was the star coming out of Rockbridge over DeJuan Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Mosley on his second college at Mizzou who's riding pine. And you have DeJuan Harris, a point guard for a national championship team, who's come out and had a great start to this year, whether it's his junior, senior, sophomore year. I don't know. Can't keep track in college basketball anymore.
Right.
Can't keep track. But that's an interesting little subplot of teammates from Rockbridge.
DeJuan walks in dragging his right hand because it's got the ring on it. It's so heavy. It's like, oh, hey, what's going on, man? No, it's not a big deal. You know, this is my arm. It's just, why is your right arm? What's your bicep and forearm in your right arm? Oh, I've been walking around with this ring. That's what happens, you know. Every time I'm doing these 3-pound curls, it's this ring is crazy. You're right about K-State. I've had a lot of fun watching them. I still don't know if Noel was throwing it to
there's
Johnson.
One of three options.
Yeah, or Carter when he threw it off the backboard.
They called it the volleyball oop because you know how they set it and like multiple volleyball players will go up to spike.
That's right. Somebody will fake and
they'll
the other
fake.
One will
absolutely, it's a volleyball oop.
That's exactly what it was. I thought he overthrew it or threw it too high, and I'm like, oh no. Not only did he not throw it too high, he had two guys that could have been fighting over it at the time. Yeah, they're fun when they get out and run. And Johnson has been, you know, as advertised on that team. So, I think it's exciting because all three basketball programs right now, you feel like,
I think they're
in good
spots. Are
they
combined like 25-2 or something like that? It's been a great start to the season.
Well, I know they're at least 9-0.
And then one's 8-1. I think K-State's 8-1, right?
K-State, they've only got one loss. I don't know how many wins.
Yeah,
they
I think have. It's 8-1, 8-1 for KU, K-State, and then 9-0. And I know we got a break here quickly, but two, I mean, and it's coming at the same time where for the first time since what 03, all three schools are making bowls.
I didn't even put that together. Where you feel good about?
I think it's 03.
Yeah. Do all three teams make the tournament? When's the last time that happened?
Good start.
I don't
making
know.
That happen
certainly is a good
remember,
start.
You got to remember, K-State was picked 10th in the Big 12 last.
Yeah, and Missouri.
Missouri wasn't far off in the SEC.
They were picked 21st in the SEC.
So that's amazing.
Weird, right? They actually already counted Oklahoma and Texas finishing in the SEC ahead.
Their next four waves of teams coming in.
And then Kentucky's backups.
Both Washington schools, every school from Florida.
Kentucky's second five.
Maine was a weird ad, I thought. Yeah. The Black Bears.
It's weird. Like 1, 2, 14, number 15, Oklahoma, 16, Texas, 17, Kentucky's backups, 18, Mizzou. It's weird. That's why they did that. I don't know. All right. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We'll hear from Andy Reid in the 1 o'clock hour. We got cuts still to come on the show today. I want to hear from Travis Kelce, and I also want to hear from Steve Smith. We got to do that at some point. Steve Smith Sr., not his son. Steve Smith Sr. talking about Sky Moore on his TikTok. Was it positive? Was it negative? I don't know. We'll find out.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I felt like stuff exploded inside of me.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Josh Briscoe was at Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. Denver Biscuit, Fat Sully's there as well.
It's me, I'm Sully.
What'd you say?
That's me, I'm Sully.
You're,
I am now Sully.
You
I am
are,
now
yes,
Fat Sully.
You are Fat Sully now.
Because of Denver Biscuits. And mm-hmm. I'm happy. This is how I want to live the rest of my life.
Who gets the ring for you then?
Oh, you know who it's got to be, man. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. It's got to be Baker Mayfield. That's the first hour of the podcast, by the way, Jason, is titled Let Baker Bake, because you got to let Baker bake. I really do think that he's kind of gotten a raw deal a couple of times now. The end in Cleveland, I just didn't feel great about, and boy, it's hard to be a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. So 2 days after arriving in L.A., he ends up leading them on those touchdown drives at the end. Yeah, the Raiders certainly did their part, being the Washington Generals. But absolutely, Baker Mayfield gets the ring today. And as always, who gets the rings brought to you by Rubac Fine Jewelry. That's where I went to get the ring for fiancé Renee. That's been going pretty well, if I do say so myself. So if you are ready to pop the question, you want a custom engagement ring, go to Rubac Fine Jewelry. Visit them online at rubac.co. RUBACK.CO. Also, I can speak from experience here, holiday season and all that. There's no gift quite like the one that comes in a little blue box from Rubac. So I would very much encourage you to follow in those footsteps. Custom engagement ring process was so easy, so good, and I'm so, so, so happy with the end result. In fact, here's a story that's fine now because she's doing okay, but Renee was out of commission with the flu. I mean, still is, but doing better. And
I was going to say, she kicked that pretty quick. You know, 24 hours.
No, it's still not great, but it's better. Yeah. And at one point yesterday, she was wearing the uniform of a sick person, the pajama pants and the several layers of like warming clothes. And she looked at her ring and said, "This is too pretty for the rest of what I have on right now." And that's because it was perfectly made at Rubac. And I will say, looks good no matter what you're wearing. But you'll be very glad you went to Rubac if you go follow in those footsteps. Rubac.co.
Rubac Fine Jewelry. So great, nobody will notice you got the flu.
Exactly. Why I honestly thought for a while it would keep you from getting sick. I thought it had superpowers.
Why wouldn't they just go with that? I feel like why pay for anybody to come up with these jingles? Just ask me. Okay, I got it. Nailed. Figured out for you. And Baker Mayfield is already planning his next Progressive commercial there in L.A. with SoFi.
That was amazing. The Rams were on the verge, I believe, of history. Had they lost that game, they would have had to maybe win out to avoid the worst record of a Super Bowl champ, which was 50 years ago, 50-plus years ago. The Super Bowl II Packers came back and, I guess, had a bad year after that.
Yeah, they suck.
He did. I
Packers
remember that game.
Terrible.
That year.
They aimed a freaking trophy out of that after that coach.
That's a good bake.
So stupid. Speaking of Super Bowl winning coach, Andy Reid next.